Have you ever seen those big ropes that boats use to tie onto docks or to lower anchors? They're durable and heavy, created to withstand incredible weight and strain. Today, I want to talk about the important ropes that hold marriages together and make us stronger. Stay with me.
Welcome to this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. We are a discipleship-driven ministry on a mission to encourage Christians everywhere to live like Christians. You know, every marriage faces difficult seasons, whether it's stress from parenting, pressures from work, or just the anxieties of everyday life. So if you and your spouse are feeling the weight of those challenges right now, this message is for you. As Chip continues his series, Keeping Love Alive, Volume 4, he'll unpack where every couple can find encouragement and support in their most desperate times. So with that, here's Chip with his talk, An Intimate Relationship with Christ's Body.
I'd like you to write something down and like you to think about it seriously and like you to think about it as regarding to your life. Someone told me this years ago. The answer to your biggest problem, current biggest problem, is a gifted person. The answer to your biggest problem right now, whatever it is more often than not a gifted person. In the sovereignty of God, He has prepared someone and gifted someone to either give you the answer you need, the support that you need, the reproof that you need, the love that you need, the finances that you need, the direction you need. That's how it works. The answer to what feels impossible, that you can't figure out, God's answer almost always, more often than not, is a gifted person. We use a phrase, but it's become a throwaway phrase. We are the body of Christ, and we don't take that seriously. When there's someone who's poor or hurting, someone who's struggling, when you sit down and look them in the eye and help them, when there's orphans that you hear about and you write checks off the top, over and above everything, because you care, you're the body of Christ. You are the living body of Christ. You desperately need to be connected to other believers so that you can receive and give. So I was driving down the hill praying for you all and praying for me. I thought of this question to ask you. Do you believe in the supernatural? I mean, it's not that complicated of a question. So, I mean, if you believe in the resurrection, that's pretty supernatural, right? If you believe that you can pray to a God who's resurrected, seated at the right hand of the Father, and He actually answers prayer, that's pretty supernatural. If you believe, and you know, we have all kind of different spectrums, but I mean, that when we would anoint someone with oil and in the sovereignty and providence of God, we pray for them, God will at time choose to supernaturally heal people's bodies. Right? So can I ask you a question? Why are some of you sitting here thinking that God could not supernaturally do something in you or supernaturally do something in your mate that could bring this thing together the way it needs to be? Have we just gotten to the point where we tried this, we tried that, he's not doing this, she's not doing that, blah, 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 blah. Wait a minute. Could God intervene if two people with soft hearts came and said, I'll do whatever, because we've tried our way? You're going to notice that you have to have a life-giving relationship with Christ to be the person and have the marriage that God longs for you to have. You need to have a healthy relationship with yourself, a love for yourself that's non-narcissistic. And third, we're in part three, you need and I need an intimate relationship with Christ's body. Great marriages are characterized by close personal relationships with fellow believers that provide love, support, accountability, fun, and opportunities to minister and be ministered to by one another's gifts and resources. Great marriages have that. Translation, marriage is not a solo endeavor. We all need friends, mentors, and other couples to help us remain faithful to Christ and to one another. We read it earlier in Romans 12. We belong to one another. We need one another. The principle, the seeds of a fruitful marriage require the soil of authentic community. The seeds, here's what some of you don't get. The experience you have right now are all the seeds you planted last year and the year before and the year before and the year before and the year before. And they're all just growing up. And some of them are growing up with really good fruit and some with some really ugly fruit. But the seeds you start planting now, you never reap in the same season that you sow. If you start new patterns, start new habits, start to make changes, I mean, would you think a farmer would go, okay, someone said these seeds are really good. I put them in the ground. I put some dirt over them. There's a lot of sunshine. There's fertilizer and I water them. I come back in 2 days. See, they don't work. They just don't work. Come back in a week. They don't work. Come back in 2 months. Oh, it's just a little plant. Doesn't work. But what would a farmer say? Looks like it's right on time. Takes about 4 months for them to get up here, and in the fall this happens, and the bud happens, and that's how life works. And so where and what are you going to sow? Because that's what you're going to reap. The seeds of a fruitful marriage need the soil of authentic community. And what I mean by authentic community is those kind of relationships that give you life, the kind that tell you the truth, the kind that you can have fun with, the kind that you laugh with, and you laugh with in different ways than anyone else. The kind that you can just totally be you. The kind that privately you can share your deepest struggles and your deepest fears, and they're with you and they're for you. If you don't have that, you will not make it. You'll medicate yourself. You'll run to escapes. You'll put up walls. You'll run and hide. You'll eat. You'll buy things. You'll drink too much. We all have issues. God has a gifted person who's made to love and support you, and you have been made not to just get, but to give, and in ways that I don't understand. According to Jesus, give, and it'll be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over back into your lap. For whatever measure, the size of what you give out to others, so it'll be returned to you. Now, I understand that when you've heard that verse in church, the pastor, in many cases, is going to talk about money and how money works. It's Luke 6:38. Look it up. It's not a financial passage. It's a kingdom passage. There's certain ways the world works, and there's certain ways the kingdom works, and it's just the opposite. When you're lonely and don't have a friend, go be a friend. When you're struggling and depressed, I have a little formula. Go get on the treadmill, get sweaty, get the endorphins going. Number two, I don't feel like it. Sing songs to Jesus and start thanking him, whether you feel like it or not. And number three, find someone who has bigger problems than you and go help them right away. And guess what? Bam! Your breakthrough. How do you develop relationships in the body of Christ that are really authentic? Real community. I'm going to suggest three things. Number one, an awareness of our need for others. The writer of the Hebrews writing to a group of people that were drifting. Man, they were on fire for God at one point. It's a mixed group of people, and they're drifting. And he's going to remind them of all the superiority of Christ than the law and the priests and all the rest, the whole Old Testament economy. And in chapter 3, he tells them, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I memorized it in a slightly different translation, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Well, how long is it called today? Every day you wake up. In our flesh and in our humanity, we will drift, and sin is deceitful. And it starts with tiny little compromises. And the tiny little compromises start to harden your heart. And then you harden your heart, and then you're insensitive to the Holy Spirit. And you're insensitive to the words and the life of others. And over time, then you just drift. And by the way, notice it says when you're deceived. When you're drifting, you're absolutely sure you're not. I'm good. Hey, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm watching online. Everything's okay. And then when you do get with people that you've been close to in the past, you start to be superficial. And they ask some penetrating questions, and there's little things you start to do privately that you know are not right, and it grows, and it grows. And then you start feeling this discrepancy between who you project and who you really are. I've had just so many heartbreaking experiences. I remember a young family that was, they had a radical conversion and three small kids, and within 8 or 10 years just became like the dream you would have. And as their kids hit the teenage years, a couple of them were really gifted athletically, and pretty soon it was one traveling team, then it was another traveling team, and then they were missing church quite a bit, and they were leading a small group, but then they didn't have time to do that, and it's just a season, and we want to be with our kids, and pretty soon, you know, it was soccer, 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 and you know, I said, hey, man, bro, I love sports, I coached. And I think your priorities are a bit out of, you just don't understand. You know, I think my son's going to get a scholarship. And, well, he might. I don't know where his kids are. He's not walking with God. The marriage didn't work out. They drifted. Life fell apart. And he was convinced everything was okay. A young couple I was mentoring, started a big ministry in our church. Young, godly, and you know, the things are closed down. They watched online for a little while, and they have some small kids. So it's hard to, you know, it was really hard. I get it's really hard. And it was 4 months, and it was 6 months, and it was 8 months. And then all of a sudden, I saw values change. Then I saw some conflict in their marriage. And then I saw issues. I thought, oh, man. And they drifting, they just didn't know it. By God's grace, man, he intervened. And boy, they have plugged in, and they're kind of restoring those habits around the table where you talk and you pray and you spend time with one another. No one's immune. No one's immune. Not me, not you, not anyone. But if you don't have close relationships, if you don't absolutely know, I need people, then you won't take the initiative. And it's never been easier to get isolated than right now, isn't it? I mean, it's crazy. Part of my discouragement. I'll tell you, I've had a few times I got really, really down. And I had to take some drastic measures to say, I have to connect with some people, with some, in my case, some men that I can really share my heart and do life with. The second, do you have a real friend who will guard your heart and your life? I didn't ask if you're in a small group. I think it's important. I didn't ask if you're watching online. I think that's important if you can't meet. Do you have a real friend? A real friend. Someone who loves you enough to accept you no matter what happens, and someone who loves you enough to tell you the truth when they just care. Someone who'll make time. Everybody's busy. They'll make time. And you make time for them. And I'm convinced that every man needs a couple of men like that in your life. And every woman needs a couple women like that.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Before we hear the rest of Chip's message, let me remind you that we are a listener-supported ministry. Your regular gifts help us create programs like this one, develop new resources, and encourage pastors globally. Prayerfully consider becoming a monthly partner today. Then go to livingontheedge.org to give a gift. Thanks so much for your support. Well, here again is Chip.
Second, to have those kind of relationships. Notice the word was intimate relationships. What I wanted to get you is it's connectedness. It's from the heart. There's a process to follow. Romans chapter 12, in verses 9 through 13, I believe the Apostle Paul actually gives clarity to what authentic community is. He says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. I wish I could unpack all of that, but there's four very clear triads. And what he says in the first triad, let love be without hypocrisy, literally, it's let love be without a mask. The word was used in the Greek culture for, they would have Greek plays or theater, and all the actors were male. And you would learn to throw your voice and sound like a man or a woman, old or young, and they would wear a costume, and they would have a mask, and then would come out, and they could hold the mask and be this person, and then go back and change and put on a different mask. That's this word. Let love be without a mask. Abhor what is evil. The word abhor, I did a little word study. It's like if you've been gone on vacation or out of town or you forgot and there's a milk carton in there and it's been there for like 6 weeks and you're not even sure how long it's been and you make the mistake of opening it up and you stick your nose in it and you just want to throw up after you smell it. That's this word. Not play around with evil, not tolerate evil, not make excuses about evil, not drift into evil, not flirt with evil, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Because here's the deal. The first aspect of authentic community is the real you has to show up, the authentic who you really are. And if you're hiding sin, then you put on a mask. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor the real you. And then notice, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. That word devoted is like, I mean, I'm for you. I've got your back. You guys understand this. I would lay down my life for you. That's that word in brotherly love. It's give preference and honor. I want your success more than my success. This is radical Christianity. So authentic community is the real you meeting real needs. Not superficial ones. Not the ones that, you know, well, I can do this on the way home. Or one of the tricks I used to play is, you know what, I don't really want to talk to so-and-so, but I want him to think I kind of care, and I do kind of care, but there's sort of extra grace required, and I don't really want to be devoted to them, and they kind of bother me, so I'm going to give them a call, and I hope they don't answer so I can leave a message. And the message goes something like, hey, so sorry I missed you, wish you we connect, hope everything's okay, see ya. Has anyone else ever done that? And what you're really trying to do is just sort of manage the relationships, but I don't want to be devoted to them. And you can't be devoted to everyone, so you don't have to feel guilty, but be honest. The real you shows up to meet real needs. I mean, it's when you give money away that you can't give away, but their needs are so great, you give it to them. It's when you don't have time and you're under pressure and you understand they're in crisis and you give time. That's what builds those kind of relationships. The real you meeting real needs, and then for the right reason. It says, what does it say? Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. See, sometimes in the body of Christ, we get a lot of strokes. You know, I show up for this, or I do that. You're so wonderful. Not lagging behind. The word for diligent is follow up, follow through. Fervent in spirit, we get a word of water coming up to a boil. It's a picture of this energetic, enthusiastic person who's doing what they do in the body of Christ, serving the Lord. I'm not doing this for men's approval. The real you, meeting real needs for the right reason, and then in the right way. Those last triads, actually, this is about five small chapters in this book on experiencing authentic community. In the right way, there's the upward focus, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. I'm going to find my joy not in my circumstances. My ultimate hope is there's a heaven. It's real. I've got promises. I have a Savior, no matter what's happening. I'm going to persevere. That means hupomeno. That's the word. It means being under pressure and refusing to give up. It's resilience in tribulation. And how? With desperate dependency. I'm devoted to prayer. It's the same word. I'm devoted. I can't make it. God, I need you. And then notice there's the outward focus, contributing to the needs of the saints. That word means you're actually giving money to other Christians that have financial need. Practicing hospitality, literally, it comes from our word for pursuing strangers. Hospitality is, you know, you walk into a room and it doesn't take long at a party or a group and you just realize, boy, those two people feel completely out of it. Or this person is marginalized, or they get pushed to the side, or they're not as attractive. The body reaches out to those kind of people and says, hey, do you want to come over and sit with us? I want you to know someone cares about you. Didn't Jesus do that? He touches a leper. There's a woman whose son is dead, and he touches the coffin. The Jesus who loves you is moved deeply in his heart when he sees someone sin or sees someone suffering. He just is compelled to want to help you and to love you and to move into your life. And he wants to give you his eyes that you would see marginalized people the way he sees them. And it wouldn't be just writing a check or talking about how terrible this is or that is. You would activate in small ways and in big ways. And what I will tell you is when the real you meets real needs for the right reason and the right way, you will experience this supernatural thing called authentic community, where you are deeply loved, not for what you do. You are deeply loved, not for what people think you are. You're not deeply loved for how you look or what you have. You are deeply loved for you. And you know, the human heart has been made in desperate, desperate need to have someone love you just for you. And that's the body. And if you don't, if you're not aware that you need people, and if you don't practice authentic community, this process, you will drift or you will fake it. Once you get in patterns, you know, the Bible word, you don't hear it anymore. It's called sloth. It's called sloth. It's one of the big sins in the Bible, but we don't talk about it. Sloth is simply this. It's the opposite of being disciplined. Discipline is doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done. God prompts you and says, you know what? You need to share Christ with so-and-so. He's hurting. I know he's an outcast. I know he has a different sexual preference than you. I know there's a lot of stigma to it. But he's desperately in pain and shame and hurt, and he needs you to break the barrier with him, or you to break the barrier with her and look into their eyes, regardless of their orientation, and let them understand there's someone that understands and someone that loves them, and you want to introduce them to the one that can meet their deepest needs. And so what I'm saying is, God wants you to be his body. Jesus lives inside of you. So you're in desperate need of love, and you're actually in more desperate need to give love.
This is Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and you've been listening to part one of Chip's message, An Intimate Relationship with Christ's Body, from our series, Keeping Love Alive, Volume 4. Chip will be back shortly to share some helpful application for us to think about. We've all admired those remarkable couples who have celebrated 5, 6, or even 7 decades of marriage. So what's their secret? And more importantly, how can we stay committed to our spouse like that? Through the most recent installment of our Keeping Love Alive series, Chip unveils 4 crucial relationships great marriages have in common. Discover why these connections matter and how to prioritize them with your mate. If you've missed any part of this series, catch up via the Chip Ingram app or at livingontheedge.org. Well, Chip's joined me in studio now. And Chip, before we go any further, I thought it might be helpful for you to talk about what happens when people support us financially. I mean, when you ask people to partner with us, how are their gifts being used?
You know, Dave, what I want you to know is that when you support Living on the Edge, you bring biblical teaching on core issues that at times is not politically correct, but is at the core of what brings about real life change and families that are stable and honor God. And what I'd ask you to do is, would you be willing to partner with us as we create these small group resources, as we put them on the app, as we pay for radio time, as we try to help families be all God wants them to be? It requires an enormous amount of time and energy and financial support. And so if you have never given to Living on the Edge, now would be a great time to say, you know, I want to help them reach families. Or if you're a regular giver to Living on the Edge, first let me say thank you. And then let me ask you this. Would you be willing to become a monthly partner? You know, there's nothing quite like having people that you know that you can count on each and every month. The amount is immaterial, whether it's $10, $50, $100. God uses every single gift. If you would pray and just give whatever he shows you, we will be grateful and will invest 100% of it right back into the ministry. Thanks so much for whatever he leads you to do.
As Chip said, if you already support us financially, we appreciate you. With your help, Living on the Edge is ministering to more people than ever. But if you're benefiting from this ministry in some way and haven't yet taken that step, now's a great time to give back. To send a gift or become a monthly partner, go to livingontheedge.org or call us at 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003 or visit livingontheedge.org. App listeners, tap donate. Well, Chip, in your message today, you touched on a subject we talk about all the time here at Living on the Edge, community. Why are other believers critical for a healthy marriage?
You know, sometimes I think we get this idea, Dave, that we're on our own in our marriages. It's sort of like this private little world, and that somehow we have to figure it out all on our own. And the fact of the matter is, it's impossible. We just so desperately need other people. You know, I think back to Teresa and myself, looking back on the key couples or the Bible studies that we were in or the examples of hanging around other people that really helped us grow as a couple. So I think authentic community is just, it's a prerequisite. It's not like a nice addition. It's a prerequisite for a healthy marriage. And I think it's easy to get isolated, or you get into one of those seasons where the job is very demanding, and maybe if you have kids, that's very demanding. You can pretty much find yourself alone as a couple, working things out on your own and maybe not doing so well. Iron sharpens iron. We need one another. We actually have a small group series called Experiencing God's Dream for Your Marriage. Find maybe only one other couple or a couple couples and say, hey, let's study this together. If nothing else, you know, get together once a week with some other couples and share your struggles and pray with one another. What I want you to know, the principle that I started this message out is so true. The seeds of a fruitful marriage require the soil of authentic community. Here's my question. Are you connected to other strong believers in a way that will allow your marriage to be all that God wants it to be?
Great challenge, Chip. Thanks. And as we wrap up, I hope you'll discover the transformative power of our small group study, Experiencing God's Dream for Your Marriage. Visit special offers at livingontheedge.org or the Chip Ingram app to learn more. This engaging resource provides a biblical blueprint for marriage, helping you to strengthen the bond with your spouse. Whether you're a newlywed or have been married for years, this study is designed to enrich your relationship. To order our small group study, Experiencing God's Dream for Your Marriage, go to special offers on the Chip Ingram app or at livingontheedge.org. Well, until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.